Good morning, Metroplex. It is the final show from Oxnard, California for the three of us and Ruben, who's getting the light strobe going already on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Friday edition of Sean and RJ on DFW Sports Station with our training camp coverage brought to you by on-time experts Rhino Shield and Yardbird Southern Table and Bar. We will get to Bobby's first ever Jerry Jones media party at 6:40. But Chop, I turn to you for the quick summary and the hangover check-in.
I'm fine. I don't usually get hangovers. I do pretty well with that. I did switch
from. Were you testing if RJ was really loud?
I was hearing that's the loudest he started this week. He's definitely not hungover. There's Uwe again.
There's Good Morning Vietnam over there. Robin Williams wannabes.
These guys yelling and screaming in San Antonio, I think.
I think so. But this was, I did make a switch from teaks to bourbon in the middle of the night.
What's teaks?
Well, it's the word I can't pronounce. Tequila.
Oh.
Teaks.
Oh. Teaks was for tequila. Okay. Teaks. That's a dangerous switch, brown to brown. Or are you going with? You're going with a reposado, I assume.
No, because I was having basically ranch water.
Oh, okay.
It's typically a blanco. I think they did give me a repo on one of them. But anyway, I made a late switch. I was like, wait a second, I didn't even realize y'all had bourbon out here. I thought it was just like, you know. So I made that switch, and that was kind of dumb. But I only had three for the whole night.
Nice.
So nothing major. So then I left. So I feel fine. I'm tired. I'm tired. I didn't get home about 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
I left this guy there. Tried to get him out.
And your other observations of the evening or Bobby?
Bobby, you know, Bobby was kind of like, he looked wide-eyed for a minute. He was kind of kid in the candy store, but also very, just dipping his toe in, right? He was sticking with his normal crew of people, mm-hmm. of his beat writer guys. But then he started to venture out a little bit, and, you know, didn't know what any of the food was.
Yeah.
Any of the food.
Yeah, I heard. He didn't even really know what, you know, meat was on a skewer.
No, didn't know what skewers were of any kind.
How are you feeling, Bob? And what did you decide to drink?
I don't feel great. I started with tequila and soda. Because somebody told me that they're like, they don't have vodka. I was like, okay.
That
seems odd. Well, I was like, surely they have vodka, but then like the first two people in front of me ordering drinks, they had asked for something, and then they're like, we don't have it. And so I was like, oh gosh, I guess people have been, somebody would have asked for it and was told they didn't have it.
I drowned and in so Cheetos today.
I got to eat tequila and soda that tasted absolutely awful because I hate tequila. And so having to sip on that was pretty bad. And I was like, I guess I'm switching to bourbon. This is lovely.
Wow.
And so, but then when I was up there getting ready to order a drink, Eric was right in front of me. Eric got the wrong drink, and Eric had gotten lime juice, vodka, and soda. And when he was like, he's like, is that what I ordered? And he was like, oh, no. He's like, you didn't order this? And he was about to dump it. I was like, I'll take it. And so then I just ordered those the rest of the night.
So you went back to the vodka, which they did have.
Yeah, but it was not just vodka soda, because I mean, it was definitely heavy on the lime juice, because the drink was like green almost.
So what'd you think of the restaurant and the world-famous Nobu and on the beach and the ocean and the star power and Andrew Whitworth and Chris Bosch.
Chris Bosch,
Al Michaels.
I don't know. It didn't do a ton for me. Like, I mean, the restaurant looked like any normal restaurant on the inside, like that I would normally see. They're on the ocean. That's cool. That's an awesome view, and it's cool to like look out and see the water and everything else like that. But it's like I was saying to people last night, and like I texted you last night. It's weird to walk in somewhere where I know everyone and I still feel like this is uncomfortable. In a room where I know everybody and I think it's uncomfortable, that's just weird to me. And it makes me feel like something's off about this entire setup. And everybody was like shoulder to shoulder. I thought this was going to be like some space to move. There was not. It was pretty packed.
It was a lot less crowded than the last few years.
That sounds even worse in previous years than it was. It
wasn't like a bunch of lounges and tables.
There was some, but not as many.
They were all taken. Yeah. Like we walked in and everybody was full. And so we were standing most of the night.
All right. We'll get the full party recap. We say good morning to Pepe back home in the Metroplex here on your home of the Texas Rangers, which we got to cover a lot of, including last night.
Now here comes Rocker now with the 1-1. And that ball is hit deep out into right field. Adolis not moving. That one will sail into the second deck for Cole Young. His third home run of the season. He gives Seattle a 2-0 lead.
I think you can tell by Hicksy's tone what happened throughout the evening. Rangers get shut out by the Mariners, the new-look Mariners. Some people think maybe the best team in the league, Seattle Mariners. 6-0. Cal Raleigh goes yard as well for number 42.
Speaking of big guys.
Yeah, speaking of big guys. And, you know, like people will point to, you know, pitching in the you get four hits, you can score zero runs. I don't care what your pitching is. You know, you're just not going to win that game at the end of the day. But they would like to see Rocker take a leap, you know, and be a little bit more consistent. Tonight was the last night was kind of a step back at that one. Seattle, though, this is kind of what they do. They've been the last few years a pitch first team, right? A pitching first team.
Yep.
And they added quite a bit of pop at the deadline, and now, like you said, there's a lot of people who think that they could be one of the more dangerous teams in the entire American League.
Suarez doubles, so he's getting there from Arizona. They made moves yesterday. Bobby, before we get to what the Rangers did, your thoughts on last night? It's going to be hard to comment with.
It all does still blend into what we're about to talk about, which is, God, it's like you look at this team and it's almost like they needed an effing bat. And they were like, no, you got a moron. You've got a frustrating. I really don't care. You've got a frustrating general manager who is a former pitcher and thinks that's all you need to stock up and add every single year, and it's just stupid. It's the same sort of frustration we get when it's like, why haven't you added a single running back? Or why haven't you added this position? Why is it, well, we think we're going to be fine there. Okay, well, that's stupid. And now I think that you've completely bungled it. And so, offensively, yeah, imagine we're going to see some other no-run, four-hit performances if you're not getting anything from Seager really that night.
The Rangers were without Josh Jung, left calf soreness, so they're going to go ahead and monitor that. It'll be Jack Leiter on the mound this evening right here on the Fan with his 4.09 earned run average.
Howdy Tellez got a hit last night, though, one of the four. That's encouraging.
Hey.
I love seeing that. That makes me feel good about things. And we got a hit from the new New York Met. Adolis Garcia got a hit last night.
You know, I'm a little surprised at both of y'all's trade reaction, and you're both kind of on the same page after what happened yesterday. I'm a little bit more, fingers. Yeah. Is that what you call it?
I don't know.
We're tickling tips.
tickle tips. You guys are pretty much on the same page. I was more optimistic and excited, and I'm wondering whether I'm just more optimistic and excited because I got lulled into believing nothing would happen because nothing did for 90% of the day.
Yeah.
As you were saying last night, Choppy, the Rangers either got started late or got in too late, and then this flurry hit where you're getting bullpen, multiple people in the bullpen, which we were all asking for, and then you get a starter that turns you maybe into the most dangerous, some would say definitely the most dangerous starting staff in the postseason if you make it there, but both of you guys were still kind of like, eh.
Well, the eh part is getting there. They absolutely made themselves, if they get to the playoff, if you were to just take them and teleport them till the third, you know, the second Monday in October, they're without question the most dangerous team in Major League Baseball. And if they're in the postseason, I would think, okay, who's beating them? And I wouldn't be able to think of a team. The issue is going to be getting there because they didn't do anything to really improve their day-to-day.
But you told us that you felt like the offense was fixed, or well, the numbers were showing that it was
the
fixed.
The numbers are showing that it has been much, much better.
Mm-hmm.
But you still need a deeper line. You still need – there's still holes in the lineup. You know, there's still holes in the lineup that you need to fix. You don't have a DH. Like, you don't have a DH.
But if I went into yesterday and told you they're getting two relievers and – a legit third starter, I would have thought we were all going
to
be happy.
I'd be okay with that. It just left, you know, it did leave a lot to be desired as a whole. I do think they missed on a big piece. I would have leaned into run prevention as well. I think they needed a DH. Now, who was out there? Right, you got to play ball. What's out there? But I mean, Ryan O'Hearn was out there. You know, you got the guys were on the move yesterday.
Yeah, some people I was speaking with, is not going to make Bobby any happier than he is this morning. We're kind of saying, yes, Ray Davis may have green-lighted some finances, but a big bat was not going to be in the cards financially.
Right.
You know, needed probably a right-handed bat versus lefties. But when we were talking about a big bat name, I don't know if Ray Davis was going to allow that much.
That sounded, I mean, your hitting coach yesterday sounded like he wanted something, and you didn't go through with that. I just said it yesterday. I don't give a damn about adding another starting pitcher. I don't want to give up any capital to go get a starting pitcher. You gave up the most capital to get a starting pitcher who doesn't miss bats and is almost 37 years old. That to me is such a waste of resources or excitement or anything else. And so if that's some sort of attempt to like, oh, look, here we are going for it, great. You'll lose 1-0 in the playoffs then. I don't care. Like, this is so frustrating, especially to me, to give up who you did. Like, I like everything that's been out there about Cole Drake, who they traded for Merrill Kelly. And Cole Drake is a guy who, that's somebody who has pretty solid repertoire across the board and is a known strikeout guy at a very high rate in the minor league level and has been at every single level. And I hate the idea of, well, we're going to go get a pitch-to-contact guy who throws 91-mile-per-hour fastballs and just induces weak contact. Okay, awesome.
All right, y'all tell us on the fan text, Franklin Frankel injury attorney text line, were you giving credit to Chris Young yesterday as I was? Were you excited? Are you feeling like that second level of energy to close this thing out and head towards the postseason? Or are you just overly disappointed they did not add another bat? Pepe, were you excited during all this, or were you just waiting for an offensive player?
I mean, I knew they had to address the bullpen situation, which they did. Merrill Kelly was, you know, shocked me that they went out and got a starting pitcher. I mean, I give them a B- for a grade. I mean, I like what they did. They addressed pitching, but yeah, Bobby's right. I mean, they really did need a bat there, I thought, and missed opportunity.
Man, they were one of the few teams. I think they even got the ball rolling on the pitcher on the starting market. I think there was only one of the starting pitcher that got traded yesterday.
Corey Majors was right. They were just waiting for everybody else to take the
players. Really were. Yeah, they really were. It was an active day, though, like yesterday as a whole.
Yes.
It was a very active trade deadline.
So you get Merrill Kelly, the only one that beat you in the World Series when you took on Arizona. You get Danny Kalum. He's 35 from the Twins, and he lives in Plano. And then you get from the St. Louis Cardinals Phil Maton. He's an impending free agent, so you got a lot of age, you got a lot of pending free agents, and you got a lot of pitching, all pitching.
I don't mind it with the relievers. Like, I don't mind getting an older reliever. I don't mind getting a reliever who's a soon-to-be free agent. That's fine. And I mean, like, the two relievers they got have put up good numbers, and I mean, you talk about Kulum specifically. He has put up, like, I mean, really good numbers for a few years now, and they're all good peripherals too. It's not he's pitching above his head or anything else. So the relievers I'm fine with. The relievers help.
But people are the most excited about Merrill Kelly.
I mean, people are excited about a lot of things that are silly.
He's a name, and he's pitched in big games, and that's key. You
he's got 3.22 ERA.
And over his last like 10 starts, his ERA is like under 2.
Yeah.
So I'm not excited about Kelly. I think you put Kelly into a playoff series as your third starter, I mean, you're looking at an upper echelon 3.
You put him into the third game, though. That game, whether win or lose, I promise that box score is going to look like 4 strikeouts, 2 walks, and he scattered 7 hits. And that's just always a dangerous recipe for a guy who is that going to consistently always be what you need it to be.
It's dangerous. I mean, you could see him running if they make the World Series and he runs into the Dodgers, you could see that being a 4 home run game.
Do you know what pitch he throws the most? He is a primary changeup guy. Like, that's the kind of pitcher he is. He's somebody who is inducing weak contact. He does not miss a lot of bats. His whiff rate is not very high. And so his whole game is like, all right, let me try and get somebody to ground a ball. And to me, that's always if you're off a little bit, that can turn ugly fast with those kind of pitchers.
I like, I think I like Pepe's grade with either a B- or a B. That's me.
D.
D?
D. No. The going, your primary asset being a starting pitcher, I said it yesterday. I was like, I don't want you to go get one. I don't want it. If you're going to use capital, if you're going to spend, don't do it on that.
But if you thought that, well, you thought offense was the major need. If bullpen was right there next to it, you have to give them a...
It wasn't for me. It was bat, clearly. That is the thing you needed, and you did nothing.
What's your grade real quick?
It's a C+, B-. I mean, they're not one of the winners of the deadline. They're not one of the losers. Uh-huh. They're okay for themselves.
Let us know, y'all. 877-881-1053. We had another Cowboys practice, and we had some Micah Diggs drama overnight. We'll talk to you about it next on Sean and RJ live from Oxnard on the Fan. Ooh-wee! Bobby Belt.
Got you down.
Just saying screw it to the Cowboy players who are trying to get their rest after last night. He's doing it because it's our last show and morning in Oxnard, and he doesn't have to see anyone after the program ends. Our training camp coverage is brought to you by Greystone Roofing, the on-time experts, and Reliant AC. And some Cowboys players who were apparently up later last night tweeting and playing some social media games were Micah Parsons and Trayvon Diggs. As I saw Manny Otolo hitting you guys up at the media party saying, please either ask Jerry and Steven right now what is going on or just put down the phones and get on this story. We need your reporting. Because Micah, 7 hours ago, decided to tweet out some GIF from Gif. Bad Boys, where it's saying, one last time, one last time. And then Trayvon follows up on that with 7-11-4-L, which I assume means 7-11 for life.
Yeah,
and then,
so the NWO, for life.
And then you had people saying that Diggs had scrubbed his... I'm not going to go through all of it and check as I roll my eyes at that stuff. Everyone does this now, your cryptic messages, scrubbing of the accounts. But people were saying Diggs got rid of all the Cowboy references and mentions. Clarence Hill saying this is for real, you know, Micah's not playing around. That's the suggestion that I'm getting from Clarence Hill. What do y'all make of this?
Trade him for Terry.
Trade who?
Trade Diggs for Terry.
Oh, McLaurin?
Yeah. Good. Go ahead. Let's go.
I mean,
as long as Terry doesn't bring those UGG boots
that Trayvon's been wearing.
Yeah.
Micah is going to get done. That's going to happen. Maybe.
Are you saying that
tomorrow?
Because of an inevitability, or like you're hearing something about progression?
No, I'm saying because it has not mattered. Like, I think we have a tendency to forget, and we're like, oh yeah, the Dak negotiations got bad, but like, I mean, you know, it was never this far along. It's like, no, it was. Like, all of these negotiations with guys have gotten this bad for the most part. Most of the time, we do go, I don't know if you can turn around from this with like 3-4 different negotiations, and they always get it. And then afterwards, it's always like a record-setting deal that gets them exactly what they want. If Diggs was not hurt this offseason, they would have gotten rid of Diggs. Diggs would not be here.
Yeah.
And the only reason why he is because he had gotten hurt. And so I think they are pretty fed up. And if they had their way, that is one where if they could go back and do it again, they would have never paid him.
I agree. And we've heard some things on the record and many things off the record about the feelings towards Trayvon. I think, let me confirm, Choppy, so I don't get you in trouble here because you're the only other media member that I heard mention any of this.
It's out. Dallas Morning News has it.
Calvin?
Yeah, Dallas Morning News has a story about it falling in practice.
Trayvon Diggs' fall in practice just adds to the drama surrounding Cowboys Corner. What happened?
So, he was over on the asthma field, as Jimmy would call it, and for some reason he had a helmet. I don't know why he had a helmet. Why would he have had a helmet? He wasn't practicing.
He trained to get used to
it. Yeah, a lot of guys will throw on a helmet while they're doing different things just to.
So he was running, kind of looked like he was like trying to like run like you know how you just run towards the end zone, but then he did.
Yeah, I do know that.
But like you know he's just on the side field like play like I don't know if he was farting around or what, right? But you see him do a somersault kind of thing, like trying to do the Reggie Bush jump dive, flip over into the end zone.
Like without touching the ground, like a full front somersault?
Right, yeah, like the Reggie Bush. Like he jumps in the end zone, then tucks and rolls, and he lands awkwardly, and he's just down.
Did you read Calvin's opening line?
No.
I never would have thought like this is a serious story. Trayvon Diggs was running to drill during his rehab work Thursday afternoon when he caught a ball, ran down the field, and fell. That's the whole opening line of the story. Just like, here's the story. Trayvon Diggs fell yesterday.
That doesn't sound like it's doing the story justice.
But he does it. This is just kind of Reggie Bush thing, falls. I don't know if he hit his head, shoulder, whatever. But he's just down.
He's wearing a helmet. That's why he's wearing a helmet.
He's just down. And then here comes Micah over there, like, helping him up. But he's just down. And then somebody else comes over, and I couldn't make out who it was. And he's just down, like, just on the ground.
And you're watching this play out.
I saw the video. I saw the it was a camera, not a video camera. It was like one of those, like, you know, you're looking at it from 5,000 meters away, taking these surveillance photos.
Right.
But you can, the way they have them now is, like, they basically record. You know, it's like a live video that happens. So you got to, like, go still by still. And then they, you know, they help them up. He just goes into the locker room.
Did you think he was hurt?
It looked like he was, like, stunned. Like, it looked like he was kind of, like wobbly, like, stunned. It was very, very strange.
This is why you should wear cleats when you practice and not Uggs. That'll cause you to lose your footing a little bit.
You know, my latest theory, coming up with new theories every day, my latest theory is the Cowboys, they thought they had something done multiple times with Micah, not just once. Micah and his agent kind of changed their mind about it. Jerry got fed up and it said, fine, I'm just going to make you sweat it out. And this is Jerry's only retaliation type maneuver he can pull, is making Micah sweat and wait. And when Micah goes and tweets stuff like that yesterday, if I'm Jerry and Steven and I'm told about that this morning, I'm thinking, see, he's squirming. This is why we make people wait. They can't take it. Trey Hendrickson, he shows up. Terry McLaurin, he shows up before the trade demand. Micah, like, it's a battle of silence and who's not going to crack. And look, he's cracking. He can't stand not being out there. He can't stand not getting his money. But at the end of the day, as my father always says.
As the Joneses always say.
As the Joneses always says. And many would say Jerry is our daddy. what Bobby said to start the segment is true. Jerry Jones is going to pay Micah Parsons before game one of the regular season. And this is his only little fight back that he can try to do, is make Micah wait and take little verbal shots publicly, because he will lose in the end, just like all the rest of the star negotiations, period. Right?
Yeah. No, and I mean, I think that this is the way these negotiate. Now, the only factor that you have to wonder about is...
Although be Jerry and Steven, and I'm telling you, operate under this premise. Game one, we don't pay him. He is there for all 17 under the $24 million. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? I'm telling you, he's showing up to play all the games.
What am I doing if I'm Jerry
and Steven?
I'm not going to pay him.
I'm going to tag him next year.
Okay.
And it'll probably be less than what you end up average annual value paying.
What will be less? The tag.
Mm-hmm. The tag.
Yeah. Okay, so... are you guys in agreement with me that Micah shows up, as he's been saying, to play the actual games
if he doesn't get done? Micah doesn't miss anything.
I don't think he misses games.
So then why are we saying why did you say it's inevitable that the contract gets done?
Because I think it's the same sort of thing. Like, Zeke wasn't going to miss games. Zeke was on a rookie deal. Zeke had a replacement basically waiting here for him, and they paid him through the nose and gave him one of the worst contracts in the NFL. Like, so they've always... done it. Dak, they got Dak done. Now, Dak was not a holdout there, but they've shown that when Zach Martin leans on him, when CeeDee Lamb leans on him, when somebody, they do it. They get it done. And so, yeah, I think eventually they get it done. Now, could it be one of these things where he does play out the year, and this turns into a Dak situation the first time, where they get all the way through the contract, and then they got to do a tag? That could happen, maybe, but I still think it gets done before the season starts.
I'm less confident that they sign him, like, long-term before the season. Wouldn't surprise me if they didn't. I mean, I'm not going to be stunned if they do sign him, but, I mean, if you look at it, like, the way the money would shake out, and I assume they would tag him as an edge, even though they would like to tag him as a linebacker. They don't think they'd be able to.
I don't think it's their call.
I know.
I think the league determines it.
Were y'all seeing or showing any Cowboys PR or Cowboys important people what was happening with Micah and Diggs on social media?
I'll be honest. I didn't know that was happening until we got in the car this morning. I was very inebriated last night. And so you said something about Micah Diggs. I was like, what the hell's happening? And then I pulled it up.
All right. Anything else I'm missing? Well, I don't know why I'm asking you guys. I'm the one telling you about it. All right. What else happened to practice yesterday? Pepe, am I missing anything else?
No, I think you got it all.
Okay.
He has no idea either.
So Jerry told Calvin that Tyler Smith left practice with tendonitis in his knee. Lael Collins is working out? What?
Oh, baby.
Just a workout.
Lael Collins did not play last year following his release from Buffalo. And then the G-Bag Nation breaking news that Savon Ravel, his father, joins G-Bag yesterday. And he says, no, my son is going to be out an additional 6 to 8 weeks from the knee issue. Also clarified, it's not Siobhan Ravel, it's Savon Ravel. So Tyler Smith left with tendonitis in the knee. They're working out Lael Collins, and Savon Ravel is out.
That was a nosebleeds exclusive right there. The nosebleed boys saw him behind the fence, knew it was his dad, and they just walked up, and they're like, oh, let's talk to him while we got live mics, and we're walking around with wireless.
Oh, and Dawson just took the credit for his podcast.
He was the one that was free to tweet, I guess. the Ravel one is... You were starting to hear some chatter that he had an issue, that something has caused his timing to be thrown off a little bit. Which, if you're Diggs, do you look at it and say, okay, this is why I have my own trainers, or this is what I want to do?
Because Ravel was working here.
Where it's like, you're telling me I'm just certain. Now, I don't know what Ravel's thing was. Ravel's thing could have happened during him trying to test something out during a drill. It could have happened during rehab. I have no idea. I'm just saying it does make me wonder if, like, that would be something Diggs would try to go to and say, like, look, this, you told me I'd be ahead. These are reasons why I take care of myself. Yeah. But Ravel, yeah, that one's frustrating. And I think that there was already some...
But this is why teams stayed away, right?
Yeah, he had the knee injury last year. He had the ACL tear, and a lot of teams just didn't want to. They didn't get a chance to see him when he was a smaller school player. They wanted to see what he would do last year. They didn't get a chance to see it, and they're like, all right, we can't totally trust it. And it's just it is a tough way to start off your career when you're talking about you get the ACL, and then somewhere in the training you backslide or have an issue. That then can create pretty easily, I think, some... a lack of trust in your knee, and that's a bad place to start with a young player.
And Lael Collins?
I think that's just your that's exactly what it sounds like. They're just working somebody out. I think they're giving him workout, checking things out, just seeing where he's at. They need bodies. We were standing out here at practice Wednesday, and I was looking at the offensive line group, and I had said to somebody, I was like, holy crap, is that it? Is that the only offensive lineman? They have like 9 guys out there. There's 90 people here, and you usually have like 13, 14 offensive linemen running around there, and it looked like a game day rotation of linemen. I was like, they don't have enough to get through practices right now.
What did Bobby Belt wear and eat at the Jerry Jones media party? RJ Choppy was on the scene with the report, and I'll tell you how I embarrassed myself yesterday here at Cowboys practice, and my wife is not going to be very happy about it. That's next here on DFW Sports Station, then back to the Rangers at 7 after all the deadline moves. Right here, Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan. Back to the Texas Rangers and your grades for Chris Young at 7 o'clock here on DFW Sports Station after a flurry of moves, not just from your Rangers, but throughout the entire sport. So we'll get back to it at 7 here with Sean, RJ, and Bobby. Good morning, Metroplex. Shout out to the 6 a.m. Club. And, of course, our coverage is brought to you by Treeline by Hillwood, a stunning new master plan community in Justin, Texas, and Best Buy Windows and Side. The guys decided to head on up to Malibu again for the Jerry Jones media party. How was Malibu after the fires?
Didn't notice a thing yet. Everything that really took place was supposed to be south of Nobu. So we'll see it on the ride in. Maybe we'll take the PCH to the, airport
plenty of time.
Today.
Yeah.
So we'll do that today.
When Jane sent you and I that video a couple weeks ago, and she's like, gosh, look at how I was like, I must not remember the PCH very well. That doesn't look like anything's missing to me. I don't remember the area.
It was a bad video from Jane. She's been off. She's been off a lot of her game recently when it comes to texting her, messaging me.
You just don't want to put on the pads and challenge her out here.
I know.
That's what that is.
Yes. How do you get Jane to respond? Just put out like a small hands video, and then she'll chirp.
She loves it. She does. It is a good bit.
Show us all how she wants to play in the WNFL. After I didn't go out here and get Tyler Booker hurt, spraining a hamstring racing me. And Jane's like, you should have gone out and challenged him. But it was Bobby's first media party. What made you finally decide to go after years of rejection and joining the crew?
I don't know. I really don't. I don't know why. I was just like,
you put so much thought into years of avoiding it, you don't know what finally changed.
Yeah, I get it. May have been just the fact that we're here for such a shorter time this time, where it's just like, all right, let me. Yeah, I'm experiencing less. I should probably go.
Yeah.
So I think that was part of it. And I walked in the door, and I think I'd been in there 10 minutes before I texted you, and I was like, I do not want to be here. I don't want to be.
Was
here.
He miserable, Choppy? Could you tell?
I could not tell. He looked.
That's why I started slamming drinks so that I would be less miserable.
Yeah, he looked the part of it. He looked like he was like fitting right in. It was all the people that he knows. You're seeing people that you know you see once a year, or for us, see him once a year at camp. He sees them all the time, but it's still a very unique setting, and it's a spot where you get unique access to things that you don't get access to normally.
Mm-hmm. Was Brian Schottenheimer there?
No.
All right.
I've only seen the coach there one time, and that was Jason that one year.
Yeah, and Roy made him not go again.
Roy made him never go again.
So what made you walk in immediately and want to turn around?
Because, like I said, when I walk in and I, like, survey a room, and I go, I know everyone here. Like pretty much everybody here I knew. Like from Dallas, from DallasCowboys.com, people, the media people. Like, I would say 90% of the people there, it's like first name basis easy. I don't have to go, who is that? And so when I walk in and I still am like, this feels uncomfortable for some reason, that to me is like, there's something.
Because you're in dress clothes, because you guys aren't throwing darts, because you're not, smelling urine at the rudder room. You're in a, like a nice formal place.
No, I think it's that it's this weird combination of like, it felt like we were there to work and we were also there to just like hang out, and it's weird. Like, just I couldn't. It didn't feel like the right vibe of like either we should be hanging out and this should all be loose, or this should be work over here. Like, that's to me how it kind of felt. So I think that's probably the dynamic that throws it off.
Were you making a joke right then about sniffing rear end or kissing?
No,
ass?
I was trying to like unclog a booger.
Okay. The allergies kicking in.
Yeah.
So any big
it's like an office Christmas party is the same. It's the same sort of dynamic there that I don't like, where it's like this feels like it shouldn't, like this either feels like we should be hanging out in some sort of other, because it's an official capacity of something the company would do, but then it's like you're kind of cutting up, and it doesn't feel like it feels like you have to think about moves in terms of does this fit what the mood is right now, or
and
would I be doing this?
Cowboys PR had to have a discussion with Bobby at practice about what to wear.
Yeah.
David Abruzzi from Cowboys PR was genuinely concerned, I think. He was trying to, like, kind of joke, but he looked at me and he goes, you have pants, right?
Now, it said on the invitation, no shorts. Nobu does not allow shorts. I thought I saw people in shorts there, but maybe not. Not within the party, but in the restaurant.
They were probably like super famous and, and I said, I was like, I told him, Bruce, I was like, it's the Adam Sandler look, and then he goes, Adam Sandler has different rules than you. Do you have pants?
Adam Sandler has different rules. But Bobby was wearing it was standard wedding issue for him.
Jeans and a polo
with his Vans or Converse Chuck Taylors on. He did well. He will say that he did not do well. He did very well. He was fine there.
You're the one who wore the hat. You the only one wearing a hat in there?
No, I think there was other people wearing hats in there.
Maybe in the restaurant. I think in the group, I think you were.
I can't remember.
I don't think anybody with the media party was wearing a hat otherwise.
No, I don't care. I had my standard black T-shirt and jeans on.
So
you know,
who had
Steve Jobs look?
Who had the most fun amongst the station crew?
Eric crushed the most food. He was like, I'm going back for seconds. I was like, relax, man. Half the people haven't even gotten first yet.
If you're telling someone to relax in the food line, my God.
Probably Zach. Yeah. Zach was almost brought to tears because Jerry cheers him, like, walking by.
Eric.
And Zach was like, I don't know, you get kind of emotional. He was. We got a bad drug fight on the way back about football. I don't even remember what were we arguing about. Do you remember, Ruben? We were arguing about something about football. He was checked out on the ride back.
He's checked out right now.
Broadus was like, Ruben, are you awake? And he's like, yeah. And we're like, you haven't said anything the entire time. But no, Zach and I got into a fight about something.
Like a quarterback ranking list fight?
No, it was something. I remember what it was.
Talking ball.
It was we were just talking ball like ball knowers do. And he was.
Y'all are ball knowers.
Gosh, Eric will not stop singing it now. Eric keeps going, Bobby talks ball. He's like, it is catchy. He's like, that's so.
What was the fight about?
It was about the Detroit game in 23 that CD had mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
When he mentioned that, we were just talking through that, and he goes, yeah, well, that was – they shouldn't have won the game. They got screwed over. And I was like, what do you mean they got screwed over? Like, they could have informed them all day long. The referee has to announce over the PA system that person's eligible. God. I'm just saying, it is. I said, if they haven't announced that, like, it can't. And he goes, they got screwed. I was like, no, that was Dan Campbell being a young, dumb coach and not recognizing it was not said over the PA. You should know your player's not eligible in that moment.
The game we were at. So you guys are arguing over the eligibility of the Detroit Lions.
Dan Skipper.
Yeah.
Well, then it turned into just all, I don't remember. I said something that was mean, I think, about, like, something that was meant to sound like I wouldn't listen to anything you have to say about football, but I don't remember what it was.
Anything else to know?
Chiafalo cornered Andrew Whitworth. Cornered him.
Broadus cornered Andrew.
When I got there, Broadus was
fellow LSU Tiger, Andrew. He didn't say that, but that was the energy he was getting.
And you know, here's the best part.
Wow, so Broadus turns on his personality and doesn't act like a miserable curmudgeon when it's someone famous.
Right.
Amazing.
No, when it's an LSU Tiger.
Oh, yeah.
But speaking of big guys,
they were right at the bar and they were sitting there talking to each other. There's a line behind them of people waiting. I just sidestepped the line because no one was like trying to get them. Hey guys, go order. Sidestepped the line, went right up there for a drink. But it was Eric had a lot of fun. Carter looked like he was having a blast. Bobby looked like he was comfortable. He looks like he was more comfortable than he's letting on.
I was not comfortable in the first half hour. I was not.
And then
I got drunk. That's what happened.
Did Ruben have his 1942 in Sprite?
He did not have. They did not have 1942.
Okay.
At least that I saw. They did have Johnny Blue, but that was not for us.
Jerry?
Just for Jerry.
And then Tommy Yarish probably was the most excited.
Al Michaels walked in, and I thought he was going to, like, pass out. He's like, oh, like, he's saying that. He goes, oh, my God, that is Al Michaels.
That's how I was at, like, the first one.
I don't think I've ever seen Al Michaels in person, even in all the times he's been around
the
stadium.
He lives at that party.
He's much smaller than I realized. That is a short guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was quite a few short kings over there yesterday. I was surprised at some of the height of some of the media members.
Well, RJ Choppy, very responsible, leaving in a timely manner. And who'd you leave with? Because it wasn't Bobby.
It was me. Drove home by myself.
Look at you, Chop.
Oh, yeah, and he was like, he was very insistent over and over. You need to leave right now. Come on. He's like, you have to get up in the morning. We're not going to be waking you up.
Look,
you
a responsible RJ.
Yeah, that's it.
Didn't work, but great effort.
And I tried to get him to go with me. It didn't work.
Yeah.
Ruben was like, no, I'm gonna stick around.
Here's the trick that I would think you guys have picked up on at this point. As soon as you tell me you're not going to wake up tomorrow morning, it doesn't matter how drunk I am, how little sleep I am, I will be generally like the first one downstairs.
Yeah, you weren't that, again, a Bobbyism. You weren't that miserable and uncomfortable. You decided to stay.
Because I was drunk at that point, and I'm arguing with people at that point about...
Yeah, and that's where you're like a pig in ass when you're arguing, just trying to win your stupid arguments.
No, this was.
I don't care.
That wasn't that. This,
how this was your night this watching the Hall of Fame game?
Oh, yeah.
Trey Lance.
It was good. I packed. I got my dad FaceTime stuff out of the way. He had been, you know, that's how I know I'm his favorite son, because I've gone a week without talking to him. He's like, I need to talk to you. I need to catch up. And I love alone time. I don't get so the good. Only alone time I get is, and I love my wife, obviously, but I guess it's not always obvious with other couples. The only alone time I get is 11 to like 2 if I'm like napping or sitting in the room after the show. Come home, eat lunch. So when you get a little bit of just like alone time, obviously no kids. I'm an old geezer with, you know, a 5-year-old and a 1-year-old. It was good. It was chill. As soon as I heard there wasn't a lot of places to sit at the party and couches and chairs, because that's what I like to do. I like to get a gang of us.
Yeah.
We all get our table. We all get our corner. And we all trash talk everyone else.
Talk ball.
But if I had to, stand in like a little confined area the whole time, I would have been in a bad mood. Plus that pizza we had for lunch knocked me out too.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. That got me. But what really got me was the embarrassment of the Cowboys merchandise line.
Mm.
As my wife, who finding a lot of crushes on my wife out here, kind of similar to Bobby's wife. She likes Pharrell, too. Loves Pharrell's style.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess Pharrell has...
The radio guy.
The man in the yellow hat look from Curious George.
No, the guy that talks like this on the radio.
Not Scott Pharrell.
Oh.
Pharrell, the musician.
Oh, he's happy.
And, yeah. And he, I guess, has Cowboy collaborated on some fashion or some brand or style. And what do you think tipped her off to this? Who's my mortal enemy in life? What is?
TikTok.
It's TikTok.
Oh, it's Nick Wright.
And she, apparently Nick Wright shouted us out yesterday or the station or G-Bag for the Steven interview. Hopefully we got the credit for it when we didn't deserve it. And she said, I just want like some of this Millionaire Boys Club cowboy clothing merchandise. So I go, and we all go into the Cowboys merch store, and I don't see anything for Ollie, so please remind me in the airport to get a piece of overpriced junk to take back to him and get ripped off. There was these little pom-poms that I was going to get for Ava, little cowboy cheerleader pom-poms.
Ava.
And Amanda picked out a shirt. And I go, and I don't look at the pricing. I tried to look at the pricing on the pom-poms, and I couldn't find it. So I go to check out. And I put the pom-poms down first, and I say, how much are these? And you know what pom-poms I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like the size of like this?
Yeah.
How much do you think they were?
$20.
$20.
Is that really what they were?
It was on the money, $20. And I handed it to him, and I said, there you go.
Put that back.
Put that back. I'm not taking those. I'll just take the shirt. And then I saw the price on the register. I saw a price, and I said, this is from the previous person. I'm gonna wait for this price to change because that can't be the price for this T-shirt. Guess the price.
So you forced me to buy a shirt yesterday. You don't even know it. So I'm because I had to buy what I'm guessing $50.
$54.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
And that was with your discount.
54. I didn't even try for the discount. I just looked at the guy. I said, no, this is from the previous person. And he goes, no, this is your T-shirt price. Guess what I did? I handed that back to him.
Your Monstars. Best I can do is 30.
I handed back the T-shirt and the pom-poms because you freaking crooks out here trying to charge. So I haven't told Amanda yet. She did not get a shirt. Now, it was not the Pharrell stuff. The Pharrell stuff comes out Saturday. So I'll tell her I'd rather spend $75 for the shirt you want versus $54 for a T-shirt.
There were two people working the register.
Two people.
When you ordered,
yeah, it was this guy. He gave me an attitude too, you little punk.
Did you go to the right or to the left guy?
I think he was in the middle. You know, I'm in the middle.
The guy on the
nobody likes the people in the middle.
The guy on the far right. The guy on the far right was a listener. Because he, like, as soon as he walked up, he was
God.
Like, hey, I love y'all's show.
Oh,
man.
I hope it wasn't him.
So, I don't think, because he was at the very end.
No. Like, this guy was in the middle, and he looked at me like a peon, like, you poor little peon. Yeah.
No, I ended up having to buy shirts, because when I saw you going around there, I was like, gosh, Amanda and Kristen are going to be hanging out later, and she's going to hear that Sean got hers, and I have to go, like, buy something. And so I did, like, send the shirts to Kristen.
So you bought the $54 shirt? You're going to make me look bad. You just boomeranged it back on me.
You bought it.
No.
You walked out with it. I wasn't anticipating you go like, no.
Yeah,
and throwing it back.
$20 pom-poms? Y'all are criminals, man.
This goes to restock.
All right. We are your home of the Rangers. The guys are not as happy as I am with Chris Young. Are you? Jared Sandler weighs in on the new Texas Rangers next.